Chapter 1. The Scent of Ash and Victory. The infirmary always smelled of memories. Not good ones either. It smelled of crushed moon petal for pain, of bloodroot paste for deep wounds, and underneath it all, the sharp, clean scent of lye soap that never quite scrubbed away the lingering odor of fear. Naya breathed it in. It was the scent of her life, a quiet, gray existence spent in the shadows of the Silver Moon Pack. Her fingers, nimble and sure, wrapped a fresh bandage around a young warrior's arm. He grunted a thank you, his eyes sliding right past her face to the door, eager to leave. They always were. Her reflection swam in the polished silver of a water basin, a ghost with dark hair and eyes that held too much. And the scars. Oh, the scars. They started on her left cheek, a web of silvery, raised skin that crawled down her neck and disappeared beneath the collar of her tunic, continuing all the way down her arm. A permanent reminder of fire and failure. In a world of perfect, fast-healing wolves, her marks were a brand, a declaration of weakness. Broken. That's what they saw. It's what she had become because they refused to see anything else. Consequently, she learned to be invisible. She learned to walk with her head down, to keep her voice soft, to make her presence as small as a field mouse in a hawk's sky. She was useful, yes. Her hands knew the herbs better than anyone. She could set a bone, stitch a gash, and soothe a fever with a touch. They needed her skills, but they didn't want her. They wanted the service, not the girl it was attached to. Can you blame them when the sight of her is a reminder of a dark day for the pack? A day of loss, of fire, of him, his father. A sudden roar from the great hall shook the floorboards, making the glass bottles on her shelves rattle. The sound was a wave of pure, unrestrained joy, a cheer so loud it felt like a physical thing. Her patient, the young warrior, shot to his feet. "He's back!" the warrior exclaimed, his face splitting into a wide grin. "The Alpha has returned." Naya's heart did a slow, painful squeeze in her chest. Kyle. Of course. He had been gone for 3 moons, fighting a brutal territorial war against the Shadow Pack at the northern border. News of his victory had trickled in yesterday. But this was his arrival. The conquering hero, home at last. The whole pack would be celebrating, feasting, howling his praises. She should feel joy. Or at least relief. The pack was safe, after all. But all she felt was the cold, familiar dread coiling in her stomach. Because Kale was not just the Alpha. He was the son of the man who led the raid that scarred her. He was a walking, breathing monument to the worst day of her life. The infirmary door banged open. Alara, one of the other healers, rushed in, her face flushed with excitement. "Naya, are you coming? Everyone is gathering. Alpha Kale is in the Great Hall. They say he looks magnificent. Not a single scratch on him." Naya finished tidying a stray bandage, her movements slow and deliberate. "Someone needs to stay here. In case of..." She trailed off. In case of what? The fighting was over. Still, the excuse was a good one, a shield she had used many times before. Alara's face fell, a flicker of pity in her eyes that Naya hated more than outright disgust. It was the look that said, "Oh, you poor scarred thing, of course you wouldn't want to be seen." "All right," Alara said softly. "But you're missing everything." As the door swung shut behind her, leaving Naya in the sudden, echoing silence, she knew Alara was wrong. She wasn't missing a thing. She was hiding. She was running from the memory of a boy with eyes like chips of gold who had once looked at her scars with something other than pity. Something that looked a lot like guilt. Now, he was a man. An alpha. And his return felt less like a victory, and more like the beginning of a different kind of war. One she was destined to lose because the battlefield was her own broken heart. Her scars, for a moment, felt strangely warm against her skin. A low, secret thrum that no one else could feel. This odd sensation always seemed to happen when he was near, an unnerving pulse of energy she could neither understand nor control. Chapter 2. The Broken Moon. Forcing her feet to move was like dragging stones through mud. Every instinct screamed at Naya to stay hidden in the quiet sanctuary of her infirmary, surrounded by the familiar scents of healing and sorrow. But the pack's beta, a grim-faced wolf named Marcus, had come for her himself. "The Alpha requires every pack member in the Great Hall. No exceptions," he'd growled, his tone leaving no room for argument. So now, she stood near the back, trying to melt into the colossal wooden pillars carved with the history of their ancestors. The air was thick with the smell of roasted meat, pine logs crackling in the hearth, and the heady electric scent of werewolf power. It was overwhelming. Then, he walked in. The celebration, loud and boisterous a second before, fell into a hush of pure reverence. Alpha Kale moved with a lethal grace that silenced everyone. He was taller than she remembered, broader in the shoulders, his presence so immense it seemed to suck all the air from the room. His dark hair was a bit longer, brushing the collar of his leather tunic, and his eyes. Those golden eyes swept across the hall, sharp and commanding. He was power and victory and savage beauty all poured into the shape of a man. The pack sighed his name like a prayer. And Naya felt a traitorous flutter in her chest, a pull so strong it almost made her stumble. The mate bond. No, it couldn't be. Not him. "Please, Moon Goddess, not him." He stopped in the center of the hall, his gaze continuing its slow, deliberate sweep of the crowd. It was a search. He was looking for someone. A low, primal hum started deep in Naya's bones, a vibration that resonated with the strange warmth in her scars. The hum grew louder, a song only she could hear, pulling his attention like a string. His golden eyes locked with hers from across the crowded space. Time stopped. The world narrowed to the space between them. For a breathtaking second, she saw something flicker in his expression. Shock. Awe. A raw, possessive hunger that made her skin tingle. The bond flared to life between them, a brilliant, undeniable supernova of destiny. He was her mate. The Alpha was her fated one. A gasp rippled through the pack as they felt the shift, the raw magic of a fated pairing clicking into place. For one impossible moment, Naya thought. She dared to hope. Then his eyes traveled from her face, down her neck, to the scars that were her shame. His expression curdled. The awe vanished, replaced by a sneer of pure, undiluted disgust. He looked at her as if she were something he'd scraped off the bottom of his boot. He threw his head back and laughed, a cold, cruel sound that echoed in the sudden, dead silence of the hall. "Her?" Kale's voice boomed, sharp and merciless. He pointed a finger directly at Naya, pinning her in place with his contempt. "The Moon Goddess mocks me. She gives me a mate who is broken." The word was a physical blow. Broken. It shattered the fragile hope in her chest into a million pieces. The pack stared, their eyes wide, some with shock, others with a cruel, knowing pity. Humiliation washed over Naya, a hot, suffocating tide that threatened to drown her. She wanted to disappear, to turn to dust and blow away. Kyle took a step forward, his voice dropping to a low, lethal growl that carried to every corner of the hall. "I, Kyle, Alpha of the Silvermoon Pack, reject you." He didn't say her name. He didn't need to. He spat the words out like poison. "I reject this broken, scarred runt as my mate and my Luna. I will not be saddled with damaged goods." The bond between them didn't just break. It tore. It felt like her soul was being ripped in half, a searing, white-hot agony that stole her breath and dropped her to her knees. A collective gasp went through the crowd, but no one moved. No one dared. Through the haze of her pain, she looked up and met his cold, golden eyes one last time. She let him see the raw hatred that was already blooming in the ashes of her heart. She would survive this. She had survived fire. She would survive him. And as she finally allowed the darkness to pull her under, one single silent promise formed in her mind, a vow sealed in the agony of his rejection. "I will never, ever forgive you." Chapter 3, Echoes in the Mirror. The silence of her small room was a roaring beast. It was louder than the whispers that had followed her from the great hall, more deafening than the memory of Kale's cruel laughter. Naya stood before the small, cracked mirror hanging on her wall, her hands braced on the splintered wooden frame. She forced herself to look, to truly see the person staring back. The girl in the glass was pale, her eyes wide with a pain so deep it looked like two dark wells. And the scars. Tonight they seemed uglier than ever. They were no longer just marks on her skin. They were a prophecy fulfilled, the proof of what he'd called her, broken. Her fingers traced the raised, silvery lines on her cheek, the touch as familiar as her own heartbeat. But beneath the skin, something was wrong. There was a low, angry thrumming, a deep vibration that seemed to pulse in time with the furious pounding of her heart. It was the same warmth she'd felt earlier, now intensified into a strange, buzzing energy. It almost felt alive. Was she going mad? Was this what it felt like when a wolf's soul shattered from a broken bond? A memory, sharp and unwelcome, burst through the fog of her misery. It wasn't a thought, but a sensation. The suffocating heat, the acrid smell of burning wood and fur, the terrifying sound of screams. She was a child again, small and terrified, hiding under a bed as the world burned around her. It was the Shadow Pack raid, the one that had stolen her parents and marked her for life. They had come for something, a relic their alpha claimed was stolen. But it wasn't a shadow wolf who had cornered her. It was one of their own. In the chaos, a Silver Moon warrior, his mind lost to the battle rage, had overturned a lantern. The fire had spread with terrifying speed. She remembered the man's face, contorted and wild. And she remembered another face, the one that had led the entire disastrous defense, the Alpha at the time, a ruthless, powerful wolf who believed any sacrifice was justified for the pack's strength. Kyle's father. He had orchestrated the failed strategy that led to the breach, the fire, the deaths. Kyle was the living legacy of the man who had ruined her world. The cruelty she saw in his eyes tonight, it was inherited. It was the same cold fire that had burned in his father's gaze. He wasn't just her fated mate. He was the echo of her deepest trauma. Why would the goddess be so cruel? To tie her soul to the one person who embodied all of her pain, all of her loss. It made no sense. It was a joke, a sick, twisted game. A wave of fury, so potent it made her tremble, surged through her. She was not broken. She was a survivor. She had survived the fire, survived the loss of her family, and survived a decade of being treated like an outcast. She would survive this. Because she had to. There was no other choice. As her anger peaked, the thrumming in her scars intensified. It built and built until it was a silent scream beneath her skin. Naya stared at her reflection, her breath catching in her throat. For a split second, the silvery lines of her scars glowed. It was faint, a soft, ethereal shimmer of pale blue light, like moonlight trapped beneath her skin. She blinked, and it was gone. She touched her cheek again, but there was only the familiar rough texture. Had she imagined it? A trick of the tears blurring her vision? But she knew she hadn't. It was real. The strange warmth, the buzzing, and now this light. All this time, she had thought her scars were a symbol of her weakness, a mark of everything she had lost. But what if they were something else? What if the fire hadn't just taken from her? What if it had left something behind? The thought was a tiny, dangerous spark in the overwhelming darkness of her despair. She had no idea what it meant, but for the first time since Kale had shattered her world, it wasn't a feeling of pain. It was a flicker of something else. Something that might just be power. Chapter 4. A Poisoned Victory. The 3 days following her rejection were a blur of hollow survival. Naya kept to the infirmary, a self-imposed exile that the rest of the pack seemed happy to grant. She moved through her duties like a phantom, the ache in her chest a constant, unwelcome companion. The joyous atmosphere in the den had evaporated, replaced by a tense, uneasy quiet. Victory felt a long way off. This new peace was fragile because Kale had made a powerful statement that their goddess was fallible, that their fated pairings could be wrong. What else could be? Suddenly, a single sharp howl pierced the air. An alarm. Not a call to gather, but a raw, desperate cry of attack. It was answered by another, then another, until the entire forest seemed to be screaming. The infirmary door flew open, slamming against the stone wall. Warriors began to stumble in, bleeding from fresh wounds, their eyes wide with shock. "They came out of nowhere," one gasped, clutching a deep gash on his side. "Shadow pack, but not a war party. Assassins. They're targeting the patrols." Naya's training took over, pushing her own misery aside. She moved swiftly, grabbing supplies, directing the other healers, her hands automatically stemming the flow of blood, her voice calm and steady. For a moment, she was not the Alpha's rejected mate. She was just a healer, and this was her purpose. This was something she could control. Then, the world tilted on its axis. Four of Kale's elite guard carried him in, their faces pale with terror. The Alpha was not bleeding. There was no visible wound, but he was thrashing, his body slick with a feverish sweat, a low, agonized sound growling in his throat. On his chest, just over his heart, was a mark. It was a spiderweb of black veins, pulsing with a sickly purple light, spreading slowly across his skin like a drop of ink on wet paper. A curse. "Nothing works," Alara cried, holding up a poultice of herbs that sizzled and smoked the moment it touched his skin. "It's resisting all healing." They laid him on the central cot. He was a storm of barely contained violence, his powerful body convulsing. In the chaos, another wounded warrior stumbled back, knocking a tray of instruments to the floor with a deafening crash. The sound startled Naya, making her lose her footing. She fell forward, her hands thrown out to catch herself, and her right hand, the one with the scars that spiraled down her arm, landed directly on Kale's chest, right over the pulsing, dark magic. A jolt, sharp and electric, shot up her arm. Kale's thrashing stopped. A ragged sigh of relief escaped his lips, the first sound he'd made that wasn't one of pain. The black veins beneath her palm seemed to shrink back, the terrifying purple glow dimming to a faint flicker. The entire room fell silent. Everyone stared, their eyes fixed on her scarred hand resting on their Alpha's chest. The connection was undeniable. Her touch, it was soothing the curse. Marcus, the Beta, was the first to react. His eyes, hard as flint, locked onto her. He saw her pull her hand back as if burned, and watched Kale immediately begin to groan in renewed agony. He pointed a thick finger at her. "You," he commanded, his voice a low rumble that permitted no refusal. "Stay by his side. Do not move." Naya looked down at her own hand, at the web of silvery marks that had been the source of her deepest shame. The pack was staring, but the pity was gone. The disgust was gone. In its place was a stunned, fearful awe. "Maybe," they whispered without speaking a word. "Maybe she wasn't so broken after all." And that thought was somehow more terrifying than their hatred had ever been. Chapter 5. The Alpha's Cage. She was a prisoner in the Alpha's grand chambers. The room was a world away from her own small, sparse space. A huge hearth dominated one wall, its flames casting dancing shadows across thick furs and dark, polished wood. The air smelled of leather and power and Kyle. It was an intimidating, suffocating space, made all the worse by the man lying on the massive bed. Kyle was awake now, his golden eyes lucid but clouded with a venomous fever. He watched her every move, his expression a mask of humiliated fury, because he needed her, and he hated it. "Don't just stand there gawking," he rasped, his voice rough with pain. "Do your job." Her job was to sit on a stool beside his bed, and keep her scarred hand pressed against his chest. This forced intimacy was a special kind of hell. She had to be close enough to feel the heat radiating from his body, to smell the scent of his skin, to hear every pained breath he took. The mate bond, torn and twisted as it was, sang with a low, agonizing hum between them. It wanted to mend. It wanted to connect them. But his hatred, and her own, stood like a wall of ice in the way. He refused to call her by name. She was the healer, the cure, or when the fever was at its worst, just you. Each word was a deliberate flick of a whip against her soul. And yet, her healer's instincts were at war with her wounded heart. She saw past the arrogant alpha to the wolf trapped in a cage of pain. She found herself adjusting his pillows, wiping the sweat from his brow with a cool cloth, and murmuring soft, soothing words when the fever dreams took him. She did it because it was her nature to heal, not because he was her mate. She repeated that to herself over and over again. It had to be true, because the alternative was unthinkable. One night, the fever peaked. He was delirious, tossing his head back and forth, muttering a name she didn't recognize. "Camilla," he choked out, his voice thick with a grief that sounded terrifyingly real. His eyes, unfocused and wild, found hers. But he wasn't seeing her. He was looking at a ghost. "Don't go," he whispered, his hand shooting out to grab her wrist. His grip was iron. He pulled her closer, forcing her to lean over him. "Stay. Just stay this time." The raw desperation in his voice cracked something deep inside her. This was not the cruel alpha. This was someone lost and broken. Before she could react, he pulled her down further. His face buried itself in the crook of her neck, his hot breath ghosting across her skin. He inhaled deeply, a shudder running through his powerful frame. "You smell like home," he murmured, the words a soft rumble against her throat. Her heart hammered against her ribs. The bond flared, a sudden blinding heat that stole her breath. His lips, dry and hot, brushed against her pulse point. It wasn't a kiss. It was a desperate, unconscious seeking of comfort. But it felt like a brand. It felt like destiny. Then, just as quickly, he stiffened. His eyes flew open, the feverish haze replaced by a sudden, horrified clarity. He saw her. He knew who she was. He shoved her away so hard she stumbled back, nearly falling. The disgust was back in his eyes, 100 times worse now because it was mixed with a burning self-loathing. He stared at her, his chest heaving. The pain from the curse immediately surged, making him gasp and clutch his chest. He needed her touch, and the knowledge was a fresh torment. Through gritted teeth, he snarled, the words low and dripping with venom. "You will never be mine." Chapter 6, A Shield of Scars. A tense, unbearable routine settled in over the next few days. Naya became Kale's shadow, a living antidote he was forced to endure. She barely ate, she barely slept, and she never left his side. The constant contact made the power in her scars hum with a restless energy, a low-grade vibration that was becoming her new normal. It seemed to be learning, studying the dark magic of the curse, adapting to it. She was terrified of it, of this strange force living under her skin, but she was also grimly determined to see this through. She would not let the pack think she was too weak to perform her duty. She would prove that a broken wolf could still save them all. Kale's condition was improving, but slowly. The curse was stubborn, a deeply rooted poison. He was strong enough to sit up now, to take short walks around the room, with her trailing him like a chain, her hand pressed to his back. They didn't speak. The silence was a weapon they both used, a heavy blanket of resentment and unspoken feelings. He was watching her, though. She could feel his golden eyes on her when he thought she wasn't looking. He wasn't just looking at her scars anymore. He was trying to look through them, to understand the mystery of her healing touch. The attack came with no warning. There was no alarm howl this time, only the sound of a window shattering and the hiss of steel. Two figures, clad in black leather and smelling of the shadow pack, dropped into the room. Assassins. They had bypassed the patrols, their movements silent and fluid as smoke. They were here to finish what the curse had started. Kale was on his feet in an instant, a savage growl ripping from his chest. But he was weak, still recovering. He managed to disarm the first attacker, but the second was faster, lunging at his unprotected side with a dagger that glowed with the same sickly purple as the curse. There was no time to think, no time to be afraid. Naya moved. It wasn't a conscious decision. It was pure, primal instinct. She threw herself in front of Kale, a small shield against a deadly threat. The assassin sneered, ready to run her through to get to his target. As the dagger plunged towards her chest, the humming power inside Naya exploded. It erupted from the scars on her arm and neck, not as light, but as a visible shimmering wave of force. A shield of pure energy, the color of a twilight sky, materialized in the air before her. Clang! The cursed dagger hit the shield and vaporized into black dust. The assassin was thrown backward by the force of the blast, hitting the far wall with a sickening crunch and sliding to the floor, unmoving. The chamber door burst open and Kale's guards flooded in, quickly dispatching the first assassin. But the room had already fallen silent. All that could be heard was Naya's ragged breathing as she stared at her hands, trembling. The shield was gone. The power had retreated back beneath her skin. She felt drained, hollowed out, and utterly terrified. She slowly looked up. Kale wasn't looking at the dead wolves on his floor. He was staring at her. The anger was gone. The resentment, the disgust. All of it had vanished. His golden eyes were wide with a stunning, profound shock. He was looking at her as if he'd never truly seen her before. He didn't see a broken runt, a scarred healer, or a rejected mate. He saw an impossibility. And in the depths of his gaze, for the first time, she saw a flicker of something that looked terrifyingly like awe. Chapter 7. A Seat at the Fire. The summons felt like a mistake. Naya stood at the entrance to the Alpha's war room, a place she had only ever seen from the outside. Inside, the air was heavy with the scent of old maps, beeswax, and the sharp, metallic tang of unsheathed steel. Kale's highest-ranking warriors, a council of 10 hardened wolves, were gathered around a huge oak table. They all turned to stare as she entered, their expressions ranging from confusion to outright hostility. A healer, a scarred healer, the Alpha's public reject, had no place here. She felt a familiar urge to shrink, to make herself invisible, but the memory of her power erupting to save him held her straight. "She is here at my command." Kale's voice cut through the tension like a blade. He did not look at her, his attention fixed on the map spread across the table. "She has a unique perspective on our enemy's new weapon. Sit." He pointed to an empty chair right beside his own. It was not a request. Naya moved on numb legs, her heart pounding a frantic rhythm against her ribs. Every eye followed her. She sat, acutely aware of the space between her and Kale, a chasm of unspoken history and unwilling connection. He smelled of pine and cold fury, and the proximity made the scars on her arm tingle with a low, insistent hum. This was a test. She knew it. He was putting her on display, but she couldn't figure out if he wanted her to succeed or fail. For the next hour, she listened. The warriors spoke of the Shadow Pack's tactics. Small, coordinated strikes designed to wound, not kill. They were using cursed weapons to incapacitate Kale's best fighters, bogging them down. Marcus, the Beta, slammed a fist on the table. "It makes no sense. This isn't their way. They are wolves of conquest, not cowardly assassins. Why this change in strategy?" A thought, born from the memory of the curse's dark magic coiling under her hand, took root in Naya's mind. She took a breath, her voice barely a whisper at first. "They aren't trying to conquer us." All eyes snapped to her. She swallowed and continued, her voice gaining strength. "Not yet. They are gathering information. The curse on the Alpha. I felt it. It was designed to be difficult, but not impossible, to heal. It was meant to create a dependency. Kale finally turned his head, his golden eyes narrowing. What are you saying, healer? I think they know, she said, her gaze unwavering. Somehow, they know that I can counter their magic. This isn't about killing you. It's about me. They're testing my abilities, trying to draw me out. They are trying to turn the pack's greatest strength into its biggest vulnerability, by leashing you to me. The room was utterly silent. The warriors stared, not in anger now, but in dawning horror. Her logic was terrifying, and it was flawless. She wasn't speaking as a healer. She was speaking as a strategist who understood the enemy's poison on an intimate level. She had passed his test. Much later that night, as she walked through the moonlit courtyard, he cornered her. He moved with a predator's silence, appearing from the shadows like a wraith. He didn't touch her, but his presence was a physical force pinning her against the cold stone wall of the keep. You were right, he said, his voice a low growl. The raw animosity was gone, replaced by a dark, simmering intensity that was far more unsettling. I received a scout's report. They are not massing at the borders. They are watching, waiting. He took a step closer, his shadow falling over her. They know what you did, what you are. The shadows want you now, healer, not just me. His warning hung in the air, a terrifying promise that their fates, which he had tried so desperately to sever, were now more tangled than ever. Chapter 8, Whispers in the Scars. Kyle's words echoed in Naya's mind, a constant, chilling refrain. The shadows want you. The knowledge settled deep in her bones, a cold fear that even the infirmary's familiar quiet couldn't soothe. She needed answers, not just about the enemy, but about herself. This power that lived in her scars, this strange ability to repel their dark magic. What was it? Where did it come from? There was only one person in the pack old enough to remember the ancient magics, the forbidden tales the others had forgotten. Elder Maeve. She found the old she-wolf in her secluded hut at the edge of the den, the air thick with the smell of drying herbs and wood smoke. Maeve was ancient, her fur the color of snow and her eyes a milky blue film of blindness. But what she couldn't see with her eyes, she felt with her soul. Your spirit is loud, little one, Maeve rasped without turning as Naya entered, full of fire and fear. Under the guise of seeking a rare herb, Naya described what had happened. She spoke of the hum beneath her skin, of the shield of light, of the way her touch fought the Alpha's curse. She did not speak of the rejection because she did not have to. Maeve, like the entire pack, already knew. The old wolf was silent for a long time, her gnarled fingers methodically crushing dried leaves in a stone bowl. The fire that marked you, Maeve finally said, her voice a dry rustle of leaves. It was not an ordinary fire, was it? You have always known that, deep down. Naya shook her head, her heart beginning to pound. Alpha Boren, Kale's father, was a proud, desperate man. On the day of the raid, when the Shadow Pack breached our walls, he did something forbidden. He called upon a wild, uncontrollable magic, a curse of living flame meant to consume our enemies. Maeve turned, her blind eyes seeming to look right through Naya. But that kind of power cannot be controlled. It does not know friend from foe. It only knows how to burn and how to brand what it cannot destroy. The truth crashed down on Naya with the force of a physical blow. The fire, it was his father's weapon. Her scars weren't just burns. They were the remnants of that curse, a magical brand left by an untamed power. She wasn't just a survivor. She was a vessel. A living container for a stolen, volatile magic that was never meant to be held in the flesh of a wolf. The shame was a bitter pill. Was this why the goddess had chosen her for Kale? As a penance for his father's sins. What am I? Naya whispered, the question torn from her throat. You are an echo of that flame, Maeve said softly, and dark magic will always recognize its own kind. Shaken, Naya left the hut, her mind reeling. The world felt tilted, unreal. As she stepped out into the twilight, a shadow detached itself from the trees. A large black crow landed silently on the path before her, its eyes gleaming with an unnatural reptilian intelligence. It dropped something at her feet before taking to the air once more. It was a small scorched piece of parchment tied with a black ribbon. Her hands trembled as she opened it. The writing was jagged, scrawled in what looked like charcoal. "The brand marks you as mine. He cannot protect you from what you are. Come home, little flame." It wasn't signed. It didn't need to be. The Shadow Alpha knew. He knew what she was, what Kale's father had done, and what lived inside her. The war was no longer about territory, it was about her, and a terrifying possessive claim had just been laid at her feet. Chapter 9. Dance of Steel and Shadow. The attack came at dusk, when the sky was bruised purple and red. The shadow pack poured from the trees, a tide of dark fur and gleaming eyes, their howls tearing through the evening quiet. This was no small strike. This was a direct assault on the den. "Stay in the infirmary," Kale snarled at Naya, his eyes blazing with protective fire. "That's an order." "An order you know I won't follow," she shot back, her chin high. "Your warriors will be wounded, the curse blades will be flying, you need me out there." For a heartbeat, they stood locked in a battle of wills. His alpha dominance pushed against her unyielding certainty. He broke first, letting out a frustrated growl. "Fine," he bit out. "Gunner, Rorik, you are with her. If a single shadow wolf gets within 10 feet of her, I will have your hides. Do you understand?" The two massive warriors nodded grimly, their hands already on the hilts of their swords. They would be her guards, her cage on the battlefield. The fight was a chaotic symphony of violence. The clang of steel, the snarls of shifting wolves, the screams of the wounded. It all blended into a terrifying roar. Naya stayed behind the front line, a small island of calm in a sea of battle. Her power was a live wire under her skin, and when she touched the wounded, it flowed from her, mending flesh and soothing pain with an impossible speed. She moved from warrior to warrior, her two guards forming a living wall around her. And she watched Kale. He was magnificent. A whirlwind of death and fury, his wolf form a blur of black fur and flashing claws. He moved like a storm, leaving a trail of broken enemies in his wake. But he never went too far. His path of destruction always circled back, a dark orbit around the small, protected space she occupied. He was fighting a war on two fronts, one against the enemy and one to keep her safe. The realization sent a complicated, forbidden thrill through her. Then, she saw him, the Shadow Alpha, Malachi. He was a monster of a wolf, his fur the color of silver and moonlight, his eyes burning with cold intelligence. He ignored the warriors around him, his gaze fixed solely on her. He broke through the silver moon defenses as if they were made of paper, a clear path opening between them. Kale was there in an instant, a black thunderbolt intercepting the silver one. The two alphas crashed together in a clash that shook the ground. It was a fight of titans, a brutal, beautiful dance of tooth and claw. But Maeve's words echoed in Naya's head. Kale's father was a desperate man. She saw that same desperation in Kale now. He was still not at full strength. Malachi was bigger, and the last vestiges of the curse made Kale a fraction slower. Malachi gained the upper hand, his silver claws digging into Kale's shoulder and pinning him to the earth. He raised a paw, claws extended, aiming for Kale's throat. No. The word was a silent scream in Naya's soul. She thrust her hands forward. Power, raw and untamed, erupted from her. It wasn't a shield this time. It was a battering ram, an invisible wave of pure concussive force that shot across the clearing and slammed into Malachi. The huge alpha was thrown back, tumbling end over end, giving Kale the precious second he needed to rise, to counter, to win. The tide of the battle turned. The Shadow Pack, seeing their alpha thrown by an unseen force, faltered and then fled, Victory. Naya sagged against a tree, the explosive use of her power leaving her dizzy and weak. The battlefield was quiet now, save for the groans of the injured. She saw Kale approaching, his human form slowly taking shape as he shifted. He was covered in blood, his and theirs, and the setting sun caught in his golden eyes. The moon was rising, tinged red by the lingering smoke, bathing them both in a bloody light. He stopped just before her, so close she could feel the heat rolling off his skin. He lifted a hand, his calloused fingers surprisingly gentle as they traced the main scar on her cheek. His gaze was a fire burning with a thousand things she couldn't name: awe, fury, gratitude, possession, and a raw, undeniable desire. He leaned in, his face just inches from hers, his breath warm against her lips. The world seemed to stop, waiting. This was it. The moment the universe had been screaming for.
Alpha!
A voice called out, shattering the spell. Your orders? Kale flinched back as if struck, the mask of the cold, commanding Alpha slamming back into place. He turned away without another word, leaving Naya trembling, her lips still burning from a kiss that had never happened. Chapter 10. A Cruel Kindness. The air between them had changed. After the battle, after that moment of raw, unspoken need under the blood moon, the space around Naya and Kale crackled with a new and dangerous energy. He avoided her, yet his eyes were a constant weight on her skin, following her across the training grounds, tracking her in the crowded Great Hall. The raw hatred in his gaze was gone, replaced by a turbulent, obsessive curiosity that felt just as perilous. This shift left Naya adrift on a sea of confusion. A tiny, treacherous part of her wanted to hope, while the rest of her remembered the sting of his public rejection with perfect clarity. It was a war inside her, and she was losing. To escape his suffocating presence, she sought refuge in the one place no one ever went, the Alpha Archives. It was a small, circular room in the oldest part of the keep, smelling of decaying parchment and dust. She told herself she was organizing the pack's history, but really she was hiding. While clearing out the desk of the former Alpha, Kale's father, Boren, her fingers brushed against a loose piece of wood. It was a hidden panel. Inside lay a small, worn leather journal, held shut with a simple leather tie. It wasn't Boren's. The initials embossed on the cover were a familiar, dreaded K.A. Her hands trembled as she opened it. The writing inside was the slanted, uncertain script of a boy. It was Kale's journal from over a decade ago. She knew she shouldn't read it. It felt like a violation. But she couldn't stop herself because she was desperate to understand the man who was both her tormentor and her fated mate. He wrote of his father's growing paranoia, of the escalating tensions with the Shadow Pack. And then he wrote about the raid. Father used the Forbidden Flame. I saw it. A roaring beast of fire that screamed. He lost control. Our own people were caught in it. I saw a girl. She had dark hair and was hiding under a healer's cot. The fire, it touched her. She screamed, and I just stood there. I did nothing. I was frozen. A coward. Naya's breath hitched. She could feel the phantom heat on her skin, hear the echo of her own childhood screams. He had been there. He had seen it. She flipped to the last entry, written years later, the handwriting now sharp and angry. It was dated the week before he was officially named Alpha. They all look at me and see a hero, a perfect Alpha heir. They don't see the boy who watched her burn and did nothing. I still see her face in my nightmares. She works in the infirmary now, quiet and scared. Every time I see her scars, I see my own failure. My weakness. She is my shame made flesh. The journal slipped from her fingers. The truth was a poisoned dagger in her heart. All this time. All this pain. His cruelty hadn't been because he found her repulsive. His rejection wasn't because she was broken. It was because he was. He had looked at her and seen his own cowardice, his own guilt reflected back at him. He had punished her for his own sins. He had shattered her soul and let her believe she was worthless, all to soothe the festering wound of his own shame. This wasn't a revelation that offered peace. It was the deepest, most unforgivable betrayal of all. A cold, hard fury settled over her, chilling her to the bone. Forgiveness was no longer an option. It had never even been on the table. Chapter 11. The Shadow's Claim. Rage was a blinding white light. Naya fled the archives, the dusty smell of old secrets clinging to her like a shroud. She needed air. She needed to escape the suffocating weight of Kale's hidden guilt. She ran from the keep, past the training grounds, and into the deep woods that bordered their territory, her feet finding the familiar path to a secluded stream. This had always been her place of peace, where the sound of rushing water could wash away the pack's whispers. But today, it offered no comfort. Today, the water sounded like it was mocking her. She was so lost in the storm of her own emotions, the fury, the pain, the bitter, bitter betrayal, that she didn't notice when the forest fell silent. The cheerful chirping of birds died. The rustle of small animals in the undergrowth ceased. An unnatural chill crept into the air, raising goosebumps on her arms. The little flame burns so brightly when she is angry. The voice was behind her, smooth as polished glass and cold as a winter night. Naya spun around, her heart leaping into her throat. A man stood on the opposite bank of the stream. He was tall and inhumanly beautiful, with hair the color of spun silver and eyes like chips of ice. He wore black leather that seemed to drink the light around him. It was Malachi, the Shadow Alpha, but in his human form. He wasn't armed. He didn't look threatening. He looked amused. "You," she breathed, instinctively taking a step back. "Me," he agreed, a slow, predatory smile touching his lips. He stepped onto the water, his boots hovering just above the surface as if he were walking on solid ground. "I grow tired of waiting for you to see the truth, so I decided to come and tell you myself." He stopped a few feet away, his presence a vortex of cold power. "That fire inside you, the brand on your skin? It was stolen from my ancestors. Born was a thief who played with power he could not comprehend." His words confirmed everything Maeve had said. Malachi's icy gaze swept over her, not with disgust, but with a disturbing, proprietary interest. "Kale keeps you hidden. He treats you like a shameful secret, a tool to be used and then put away. He will never understand what you are, because he is afraid of it." He took another step. "You are not his to hide, Naya. You are a weapon, a queen. You belong with those who will not fear your fire, but worship it. My weapon." He was offering her power. He was offering her a place. For a terrifying second, his words resonated with the deepest, most wounded part of her soul. Before she could answer, before she could even scream for help, the shadows at Malachi's feet stirred. They grew long and twisted, rising from the ground like inky black serpents. They shot across the stream and wrapped around her ankles, her wrists, her mouth, pulling her into a cold, silent embrace. Miles away, in the Alpha's war room, Kale froze. The invisible tether of the mate bond, the one he had tried to deny and destroy, suddenly went slack. It didn't break. It was smothered, covered by a blanket of dark, chilling magic that felt like death. A sound tore from his throat, a sound of such pure, primal agony that it cracked the very stones of the keep. It was the howl of a wolf whose soul had just been ripped out. He ignored the shocked faces of his council. He ignored everything but the dying echo of her terror in his spirit. He burst from the room, shifted into his massive black wolf form, and launched himself into the forest, a singular, desperate thought driving him onward. Find her. Chapter 12. Kiss of Fire and Ash. Naya woke to the cloying smell of damp earth and decay. She was in a cage, its bars wrought from a strange black metal that seemed to absorb the light and hummed with a low, malevolent energy. It felt like it was drinking her power, pulling the warmth from her scars and leaving her feeling cold and strangely hollow. She was in a vast cavern, lit by the eerie glow of phosphorescent fungi. All around her, The warriors of the Shadow Pack watched her with hungry, curious eyes. Malachi stood before her cage not as a captor, but as a teacher. "That cage is made of shadow steel," he explained, his voice calm and reasonable. "It feeds on raw energy. You cannot break it by force. You will only exhaust yourself." He spent hours talking to her. He told her stories of his people, of the power they wielded over shadows, of the great destiny that awaited them. He promised her that she would be revered, that her fire would be the dawn of a new age for his pack. He was persuasive, his words a siren song promising purpose and belonging to a girl who had never known either. But with every word he spoke, a cold, hard defiance grew in Naya's heart. He didn't want her. He wanted the weapon he thought he could control. He was no different from Kale's father. "I am not your weapon," she said, her voice steady. Malachi's patient smile finally faltered. "You will learn." As he walked away, Naya closed her eyes. She ignored the cage, the watching eyes, the cold. She focused inward, seeking the spark of power the cage hadn't been able to smother. "An echo of the flame," Maeve had said. You couldn't fight a cage of shadows with brute force. You had to fight it with light. She didn't push her power against the bars. Instead, she gathered it, compressing it into a single, tiny, white-hot point in the palm of her hand. She focused all her will on one thing, the heavy iron lock on the cage door. She let the energy build, a silent, contained inferno. Then, she unleashed it. Not as a wave, but as a needle of pure heat. A beam of white light shot from her palm and struck the lock. It melted in a shower of glowing slag, and the cage door swung open with a groan. At that exact moment, the cavern entrance exploded inward. Kale burst through, a reckless, beautiful demon of black fur and righteous rage. He was alone, a one-wolf army storming the heart of his enemy's den. But it was a trap. Shadow wolves poured from hidden tunnels, surrounding him, a tide of silver and gray fur. He fought like a legend, but he was outnumbered 10-1. As a massive wolf lunged for his exposed back, Naya moved. She didn't think. She acted. She thrust her hands out, and this time, it wasn't just force or light. It was fire. A torrent of brilliant, white-hot flame erupted from her palms, engulfing the wolves attacking Kale. They shrieked and fell back, their fur singed, their attack broken. She had saved him. In the ensuing chaos, he reached her. He shifted back into his human form, his body bleeding from a dozen minor wounds, his chest heaving. He grabbed her by the shoulders, his golden eyes wild with a desperate, frantic relief that eclipsed everything. "Naya," he breathed her name, for the first time. It sounded like a prayer. There was no time for apologies, no time for explanations. The enemy was regrouping. There was only this moment, this desperate life-or-death clarity. He pulled her to him and crashed his mouth down on hers. It was not a gentle kiss. It was a kiss of fire and ash, of rage and relief, of a bond so brutally denied it had to be reclaimed through force. It was the taste of his guilt and her fury, of his desperation and her power, all melting together in a searing, undeniable heat. It was a promise, a claim, a surrender. And as a new wave of wolves closed in around them, their battle had just begun. Chapter 13. The Unspoken Vow. The forest was a suffocating maze of black trees and silver moonlight. They ran, a desperate flight through enemy territory, the sounds of pursuit fading behind them. Adrenaline had carried them through the escape. But now, a bone-deep exhaustion was setting in. The memory of their kiss was a silent, living thing between them, a brand of fire and desperation that neither knew how to acknowledge. Naya's lips still tingled with the ghost of his touch, a feeling that was equal parts terrifying and exhilarating. She glanced at Kale, who moved with a grim, focused silence. He was no longer just her alpha or her tormentor. He was the wolf who had stormed the heart of an enemy den, alone, for her. They found shelter in a shallow cave hidden behind a curtain of icy waterfalls. the constant roar of the water masking their scent and sound. It was there that his elite guards found them, their faces etched with a mixture of profound relief and stunned disbelief. They had tracked their alpha, expecting to find his body. Instead, they found him alive, with the rejected healer who could now somehow command fire. Their gazes on Naya were different now, no longer pitying, but filled with a wary, uncertain respect. Kale stood before them, his body still bleeding from a dozen cuts, his authority an undeniable mantle around him. He did not look at his wounds. He looked only at Naya. "Malachi made a fatal error," Kale announced, his voice low and hard as granite, carrying easily over the roar of the falls. "He did not just raid our lands or attack our warriors. He laid a hand on what is mine." His golden eyes locked with Naya's, and in their depths, she saw a possessive fire that burned away all traces of his former cruelty. This was a new war, a different kind of war, because the old one had been for the pack, but this one was for her. He turned his gaze back to his stunned guards. "This is no longer a border dispute. There will be no negotiations. There will be no surrender. This is a war of annihilation. We will not rest until the Shadow Pack is nothing but a memory and their den is a field of ash." He let the weight of his words sink in, a promise of total destruction. Then, he did something that stunned them all into absolute silence. He took a step toward Naya, a formal, deliberate movement. His voice rang with the absolute power of an alpha making a binding declaration. "Before you, my most trusted warriors, I, Kale, son of Boren, retract my public rejection." He held her gaze, and for the first time, she saw a raw vulnerability in his eyes. "Naya is my mate. She is my Luna. She is the fire of this pack. Anyone who disputes this, anyone who dares to show her anything less than the honor she is due, will answer directly to me." He had done it. In front of witnesses, he had bound himself to her, to this new, dangerous path. He had declared a war in her name and reclaimed her as his own. There was no hiding, no turning back. The entire world had just shifted beneath her feet, and she knew, with a terrifying certainty, that the girl who had hidden in the infirmary was gone forever. Chapter 14. A Redemption for a Heart. Later, in the fragile privacy of the cave, the roar of the waterfall was the only sound. Kale's guards stood watch outside, leaving the two of them in a silence thick with unspoken words and the ghost of a desperate kiss. Naya huddled by a small smokeless fire, tracing the patterns of her scars, which seemed to hum with a low, restless energy. Kale sat across from her, the firelight carving shadows and light across his powerful form. He looked less like an alpha and more like a wolf weighed down by the ghosts of his past. "Naya," he started, his voice rough, unused to the shape of her name. "There are no words, no excuses for what I did to you, in the Great Hall, and for years before it." He didn't look at her. He stared into the flames as if seeing a past he couldn't escape. "My father, he taught me that any emotion, any attachment was a weakness. He said pity was a disease. After the raid, when I would see you, when I saw your scars, I didn't feel disgust. I felt shame, a deep, rotting shame because I had stood there and done nothing. And that shame felt like a weakness." He finally lifted his gaze, his golden eyes filled with a raw, self-loathing agony. "So I turned it into cruelty. I hurt you because I couldn't stand to look at my own failure. It was the act of a coward, not an alpha." She listened, and every word was a stone settling in her heart. This confession, this brutal honesty, was what she had craved for years. But hearing it now didn't bring the relief she expected. It only deepened the wound. The bond between them was a living thing now, a warm current pulling her toward him, but her mind was a fortress of doubt. "I feel it," she whispered, the admission costing her dearly. "The bond, it's not broken anymore." She saw a flicker of hope in his eyes and quickly extinguished it. But how can I trust it? How can I trust you? You say you hurt me because of your guilt. She looked at him, her own eyes pleading for an answer he probably couldn't give. You rejected the scarred healer without a second thought, Kale. But you will declare a war for the fire wielder. You faced down an entire enemy den for the woman who can save you. She stood up, needing the space, needing to get away from the magnetic pull of his presence. She faced him, her voice trembling with the weight of her deepest fear. Answer me this. If I didn't have this power, if my touch couldn't soothe your curse and my hands couldn't summon fire, would you have come for me? If I was still just the broken girl you rejected in the Great Hall, would you be here now? The question hung between them, more devastating than any physical weapon. He looked at her, his face a mask of torment, because he couldn't answer. He opened his mouth, but no words came out. And in his silence, she found her own devastating answer. He didn't love her. He loved his redemption. Chapter 15. When the Sky Bleeds. The sound reached them first, a faint, mournful harmony on the wind, the howling of their pack. Not a call to hunt, but a desperate cry for aid. Malachi hadn't waited for them to bring the war to him. He had brought it to their doorstep. The den was under attack. He's trying to draw us out, Kale snarled, his body already tense with the urge to shift. He's trying to take our home, Naya countered, her fear hardening into a cold, sharp resolve. They raced through the forest, a small band of Avengers moving like phantoms toward the distant sounds of battle. They arrived to a scene from a nightmare. The Silver Moon Den, usually a place of warmth and community, was a raging battlefield. Fire licked at the ancient wooden structures, and the ground was a chaotic mess of fighting wolves. Naya's heart seized. This was happening because of her. There was no time for guilt. They plunged into the fray. Kale shifted, his massive black wolf a harbinger of death. Naya stayed at his side, her guards forming a protective circle around her. They were a unit. He was the savage steel of their attack, and she was the burning heart. Her power flowed from her, not just to heal, but to fight. She sent waves of force to knock enemies off balance, created dazzling flashes of light to blind them, and mended her packmates' wounds with a touch. For the first time, they fought as one. A true Alpha and Luna. Then Malachi appeared. He strode through the battle in his human form, untouched by the chaos, his silver hair a beacon in the smoky twilight. His icy eyes found Naya, and he smiled. He ignored Kale completely. He held a whip, a terrifying weapon woven from solid shadow, and he lashed it out not at her body, but at the air around her. The shadow whip didn't strike her, but its magic did. It was like a tuning fork for the power in her scars. With every crack of the whip, the energy inside her surged, growing hotter, more volatile. Her scars began to glow, first with a soft blue, then with a blinding, painful white light. It was too much. The power was threatening to tear her apart from the inside. Naya! Kyle's roar of fury and terror was inhuman. Seeing her cry out in agony, he abandoned his own fight and charged at Malachi, a blind rush of pure, protective rage. He left his flank exposed for a single, fatal second. It was all Malachi needed. A massive shadow wolf, waiting for this exact moment, lunged from the side. It wasn't carrying a sword or a dagger. It held a short spear, its tip forged from the same dull black shadow steel as her cage. The spear struck Kale in the side, burying deep. He let out a choked cry and stumbled, his wolf form flickering. The weapon wasn't just made of metal. It was woven with a curse designed to sever connections. It was attacking the mate bond itself. He collapsed to the ground, the light in his golden eyes beginning to fade, his life force draining away into the cursed weapon. Kale! Her scream was a sound of pure, soul-shattering agony. The power inside her, agitated and untamed, finally exploded. It erupted from her in a wild, uncontrolled nova of white light, an indiscriminate blast that sent every wolf, friend and foe, flying backward. But it wasn't a healing wave. It was a bomb of raw, untamed energy. When the light faded, the battlefield was a mess of groaning bodies. And Kale. Kale lay unmoving, the dark spear in his side pulsing faintly, the life bleeding out of him. The war was raging around them. Malachi was watching, his expression triumphant. And the man Naya was just beginning to believe she could love was dying at her feet. And it was all her fault. Chapter 16. The poisoned flame chaos was a living thing, a roaring beast of sound and fury. Naya knelt on the blood-soaked earth, her world narrowed to the still form of the black-furred wolf at her feet. Kale. The battle raged around them, a distant, meaningless storm. All that mattered was the dark, cursed spear jutting from his side and the life that was draining from him with every shallow breath. Her desperate, uncontrolled blast of power had saved him from the killing blow. But it had done nothing to stop the poison. It was up to her. It had to be. Crawling to his side, she ignored the shouts of the warriors trying to pull her back. She placed her trembling hands on his fur, near the edges of the terrible wound. She closed her eyes, shutting out the world, and reached for the fire inside her. She pushed it forward, a frantic, silent plea for it to heal, to mend, to make him whole. Please, she begged the indifferent magic. Save him. But something was horribly wrong. The energy that flowed from her scars was not the clean, warm light of healing. It was a dark, corrupted flicker, tinged with the same sickly purple as the curse. The moment her power touched him, the black veins spreading from the spear pulsed with delight. They fed on her energy, growing thicker, darker, and spreading faster across his body. Kyle let out a low, agonized groan, his body convulsing in her arms. Her touch, his cure, was now accelerating the poison. She was killing him. You see? Malachi's voice, calm and victorious, sliced through her panic. He stood a safe distance away, untouched by the fighting, watching her with the cool, appraising gaze of a scientist observing an experiment. The untamed flame only feeds the shadow. Raw power without discipline is just fuel for a stronger will. It needs a master. He lazily cracked the shadow whip in his hand. The sound echoed in Naya's soul, and the power within her screamed in response. It twisted, turning from a humming warmth into a searing, acidic fire that burned her from the inside out. She cried out, clutching her arm as the scars blazed with a painful, blackish light. She was a weapon, and her enemy held the trigger. Before Malachi could press his advantage, a wall of gray fur and snarling teeth erupted in front of her. Marcus and Kale's guards had formed a living shield, their loyalty to their fallen alpha overriding their fear. They grabbed Kale's unconscious form, while another guard hauled a stunned, sobbing Naya to her feet. They were retreating, pulling back toward the relative safety of the keep. As they dragged her away, Malachi's final, terrible offer followed them across the battlefield, a poison dart aimed directly at her heart. Bring me the girl, Silvermoon, he boomed, his voice magically amplified to carry over the din of battle. Surrender the flame to its rightful master, and I will let your alpha live. Keep her, and that fire she wields will be his funeral pyre. His words sealed her fate. She was no longer a healer or a savior. She was a curse, a walking, breathing death sentence for the man she loved. Chapter 17, The Cost of a Soul. They were trapped. Barricaded within the Alpha's chambers, the sounds of the siege outside were a constant, brutal reminder of their failure. The den was burning, their pack was dying, and their Alpha lay on his great bed, fading with every tick of the ancient clock on the mantle. The shadow curse had spread across his entire torso, a horrifying tapestry of black veins that pulsed with a slow, steady rhythm, like a second, malevolent heart. The pack's best healers worked frantically, their faces grim, but every remedy, every chant of power was useless against this dark magic. Naya was forced to stay on the far side of the room, a pariah in the court of her own making. Every time she took a step closer to Kyle, the curse on his skin seemed to brighten, to pulse with a hungry eagerness. Her very presence was a poison. The pack members no longer looked at her with awe or fear. They looked at her with a new, hollow despair. She was the cause of all this. Malachi's words echoed in her mind, a tormenting loop. Her fire will be his funeral pyre. She sank to the floor, her body racked with silent, shaking sobs. It was all true. She was the curse. The moon goddess hadn't blessed her with a powerful mate. She had cursed Kale with a fatal weakness. Her scars were not a mark of survival, but a brand of destruction. Her power was not a gift, but a poison. This entire fated bond was a tragic cosmic mistake, and the price for it was Kale's life. Every moment of hope she had dared to feel, every spark of connection, had been a lie, leading them down this dark, inevitable path. Because she was, and always had been, fundamentally broken. Just as her despair threatened to swallow her whole, a gnarled hand touched her shoulder. Elder Maeve stood over her, her blind eyes seeming to see straight into Naya's shattered soul. "Get up, child," the old wolf rasped, her voice thin but surprisingly strong. She hobbled over to Kale's bedside, placing a hand on his forehead. She was silent for a long time, her head cocked as if listening to something no one else could hear. Finally, she turned back to Naya. "Malachi is clever, but he lies," Maeve said, her voice low. "The curse is not feeding on your fire. It is feeding on your connection." She pointed a bony finger at the spear tip still lodged in Kale's side. "That shadow steel is a parasite. It has latched onto the bond between your souls. As long as he is tethered to you, to the flame source, the shadow will have a perfect shining bridge to his heart." Naya stared, not understanding at first. Then, the horrifying meaning of Maeve's words crashed down upon her. The bond, the sacred, fated connection that had caused her so much pain and so much hope, was the very thing killing him. To save him, she would have to destroy it. She would have to destroy them. "Is there a way?" Naya whispered, her voice cracking. Maeve's face was a mask of ancient sorrow. "There is an old way, a ritual of severance, a final desperate magic. But the cost..." The elder paused, her milky eyes filling with a phantom grief. "The cost is a soul's echo. You will sever the connection forever. You will become a ghost to him and he to you for all time." The impossible choice was laid bare. His life, for their souls. Chapter 18, A Requiem for Moonlight. The choice was no choice at all. His life was worth more than her happiness. It was worth more than her soul. Naya stood beside his bed, a lone vigil in the heart of the storm. The healers and warriors had cleared the room, granting her a final, agonizing moment to say a goodbye he would never hear. He was so pale beneath the angry black lines of the curse, his handsome face relaxed in an unnatural stillness. He looked beautiful. He looked like he was already gone. A single tear traced a path down her cheek and fell onto his hand. This was the only way. Her love for him had to be a fortress, not a cage. She took a deep, shuddering breath and placed one hand on his cold forehead, the other over his still heart. She closed her eyes, shutting out the dying alpha, the burning world, everything. She did not reach for the wild, corrupted fire that now felt like a monster living under her skin. Instead, she reached inward, deeper, searching for the one thing that was purely hers and his. She sought the delicate, shimmering silver thread that connected their spirits, the mate bond. In the darkness of her mind, it shone with a soft, ethereal light, perfect, beautiful, and alive. It pulsed with his life force, his memories, his soul. It felt like home. This would be the last time she ever felt it. With a silent, soul-shattering scream that had no sound but echoed through the very fabric of her being, Naya gathered all her will. She poured every ounce of her love, every memory of his brief kindnesses, every bit of her grief, and all her terrible, agonizing pain into one final, devastating command. Let him go. She didn't just push at the bond, she became a blade, She sliced through it. The recoil was an agony beyond any physical pain. It was the sensation of being ripped in half, of having a vital part of her spirit torn away and cast into a void. A wave of pure, absolute cold rushed into the space he had once occupied in her soul, an emptiness so profound it threatened to erase her completely. The silver thread snapped. On the bed, Kale's eyes flew open. They were lucid. The curse, its bridge to his soul now shattered and gone, began to recede from his skin like a dying tide. But his wide, golden eyes weren't looking at his healing wound. They were locked on her, and they were filled with a sudden, heartbreaking clarity, a look of pure, uncomprehending betrayal. He felt it. He felt her severing their connection, the most sacred vow in their world. He felt her leaving him. He reached a trembling hand out to her, his mouth forming her name on a silent, broken breath. Naya. Then his eyes rolled back in his head, and he slumped back into a deep, healing unconsciousness. Naya pulled her hands away from him as if she'd been burned, the phantom warmth of their bond now replaced by an icy nothingness. She had saved his life by destroying any chance of them having one together. The ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate failure. She was now a stranger to the man she had just saved. All was truly lost. Without a backward glance, she turned and walked from the room, a ghost in her own life, leaving the Alpha to heal in a world where she no longer existed for him. Chapter 19. Seals of Survival. The world was gray. After severing the bond, all the color and noise of life had been muted, as if she were hearing it through a thick wall of glass. The agonizing rip in her soul had been replaced by a vast, hollow emptiness. There was no pain. There was nothing. She was a ghost, haunting the halls of a keep where the wolf she loved was slowly, physically, healing, while his spirit remained lost in a slumber she had caused. The constant, low hum in her scars had gone silent, a dead quiet that was more unnerving than the energy had ever been. She felt erased. Drifting on autopilot, her feet carried her to the one place of ancient wisdom she knew. She found Elder Maeve not in her hut, but sitting on a stone bench overlooking the valley, watching the smoke rise from the battlefield below. Naya sank down beside her, too empty to even cry. "I did it," she whispered to the wind. "He is healing. But the cost..." Maeve was silent for a long time, her blind eyes fixed on the horizon. "You feel empty because the bridge between your souls has fallen," the old wolf said, her voice like the scraping of stone on stone. "But you are confusing the bridge with the lands it connected. The fire was never his to begin with, little one. It has always been yours." Maeve reached out a gnarled hand and laid it gently over the scars on Naya's arm. A curse was thrown that day. A wild, hungry thing. But a child's will to live. That is its own pure and desperate magic. You did not just take the fire into you. You fought it. You contained it. A flicker. Deep in the hollow emptiness inside Naya, a tiny spark ignited. What do you mean? "These marks," Maeve rasped, her fingers tracing the silvery lines. "They are not the brand of the curse. They are the shape of the cage you built to hold it. Your own life force, your own nascent magic, wrapped itself around that evil flame and sealed it away. You have spent your life terrified of the monster in the cage, when you should have been marveling at the strength of the bars." The world, gray and muted, suddenly snapped into sharp, painful focus. It wasn't a brand. It was a seal. She was not a vessel for a curse. She was its warden. Malachi's whip, his power, it hadn't been controlling her flame. It had been rattling the cage, deliberately agitating the destructive curse sealed inside to make her lose control. He had been using her fear of her own power against her. All this time, she had believed she was broken, a flawed thing. But the truth was, she was impossibly, miraculously strong. She had survived an unsurvivable magic by mastering it without even knowing. The emptiness inside her began to change, It was no longer a void. It was a space waiting to be filled. By severing the bond, by cutting away the tumultuous, painful, beautiful connection to Kale, she had inadvertently done one more thing. She had insulated her own soul. For the first time, she could feel her own power without his presence complicating it, without the bond coloring it, without his rejection defining it. The tiny spark grew, not into a raging inferno, but into a warm, steady, golden glow. It was not the echo of a curse. It was her. Chapter 20. A Choice of Embers. Naya walked back into the keep, and for the first time, she did not lower her head. She did not hide her face. Her steps were sure and steady. The change was so profound that the grim-faced warriors standing guard at the door instinctively straightened up, their eyes widening at the quiet, unshakable strength radiating from her. The battle outside was a continuous, grinding roar, a sound of defeat. Their home was being torn apart. She went to Kale's chambers. He was sleeping, his breath deep and even. The cursed wound in his side was nothing but a pale, thin scar now, his body's accelerated healing finally able to do its work. He was physically whole, but his spirit was adrift. He was a stranger. She felt no echo of him in her soul, only a quiet, deep ache where he used to be. She looked at his face, the strong lines softened in sleep, and she felt a wave of love for him that was so pure and so painful it almost brought her to her knees. This love had nothing to do with destiny or fated bonds. It was real. She could leave. Right now. The bond was gone. Her debt was paid. She had saved his life at the cost of her own heart. No one would stop her from walking out of this den, away from this war, and finding a quiet corner of the world to live out her days. She could be free. Her gaze drifted from Kale's sleeping form to the window, to the smoke and the chaos beyond. She saw the faces of the pack in her mind, the ones who had scorned her, the ones who had pitied her, the ones who were now dying for an alpha who could not lead them. They didn't deserve her help. They had cast her out. But this was her home. These were her people. And that was her alpha, asleep on that bed. The bond had been destiny. This was a choice. Her love was not a chain, it was a shield. Her power was not a curse, it was a sword. She would not fight for them because she was fated to. She would fight for them because she had chosen to. She would fight for him, not because he was her mate, but because he was Kale, and she would not let his world burn. With her decision made, a profound peace settled over her. She walked from the Alpha's chambers into the great hall, where the remaining warriors were gathered, their faces streaked with grime and despair. Marcus was trying to rally them, but his voice was strained, his hope wearing thin. Naya walked into the center of the room. She pushed her shoulders back, letting her tunic fall slightly to reveal the intricate web of scars on her shoulder and neck. She reached into the quiet, steady core of her newfound strength, and for the first time, she willingly opened the cage. The power flowed into her scars, not as a wild, angry torrent, but as a soft, controlled, brilliant blue light. The silvery marks began to glow, a beautiful, ethereal luminescence that made the hardened warriors gasp. "The Alpha sleeps," she announced, her voice not loud, but ringing with a clear, resonant power that cut through the despair. Every eye was locked on her, on the impossible, glowing woman who stood before them. "But his fire is awake." Chapter 21. Luna's First Light. The warriors stared, their faces a mixture of shock, fear, and a dawning, desperate hope. They saw the rejected healer, but they also saw an impossible power. It was Marcus, the ever-practical Beta, who broke the spell. He looked from her glowing scars to the unwavering certainty in her eyes, and he saw a leader. He strode forward and bowed his head, a gesture of profound, ultimate respect. "What are your orders, Luna?" he asked, his voice rough with emotion. The title sent a jolt through her, but she did not flinch. She had a plan, born of her new understanding. Malachi thinks my power is an uncontrolled bomb, she said to the assembled wolves, her voice calm and clear. He expects me to hide, or to lash out in fear. He doesn't know it can be a blade. She would not fight his war his way. She would not try to match his numbers with brute force. She would cut the head off the snake. Gather a team of your five fastest warriors. We are not trying to win the battle. We are trying to break the siege. I will get you through his lines. Your job is to clear a path. My fight is with Malachi. They moved like vengeful spirits through the burning den. Naya was the tip of the spear. The warriors who had once avoided her gaze now fought at her side with a renewed and savage ferocity. They trusted her. They believed in her. Her control over her power was absolute, a thing of breathtaking precision. She erected shimmering walls of blue force that intercepted volleys of arrows. She sent out gentle pulses of healing energy that knitted flesh and staunched bleeding on her downed packmates. And when an enemy broke through their guard, she launched a small, searing bolt of white flame from her fingertips that struck with the force of a thunderclap. She was not a bomb. She was a master swordswoman wielding a blade of pure light. The pack rallied behind her, a surge of hope turning the tide in their small section of the battlefield. They fought their way through the main press of enemies, out of the keep, and into the desecrated central courtyard. They had broken the encirclement. Naya stopped, the five warriors forming a defensive circle around her. The battle around them seemed to momentarily pause, a bubble of quiet in the heart of the storm. Friends and foes alike stared at the glowing woman who had just carved a path through the Shadow Pack's army. This was her moment. She took a deep breath, gathering not just her power, but all her pain, all her resolve, and all her strength. She focused it into her voice, infusing it with a magic that made it carry across the entire valley, a clear, ringing challenge that could not be ignored. Malachi. The name echoed off the mountains. The fighting faltered. You came here for me. You hide behind your army and your cursed weapons, but it is me you want. She stood tall, her scars blazing, a beacon of defiance in the twilight. I am here. Face me. This is between you and me now. The challenge was laid. The final confrontation was set. And for the first time since this nightmare began, Naya felt no fear. She felt ready. Chapter 22. An Alpha on His Knees. The battle was finished. In the eerie quiet that followed, the surviving Silver Moon wolves slowly emerged from the ruins of their homes, from behind barricades, their faces a mixture of exhaustion and disbelief. They saw the fleeing backs of their enemies. They saw their Luna, glowing softly in the center of the courtyard like a fallen star. And they saw their Alpha, weak, bleeding, but alive at her side. Kale shifted, stumbling as he rose to his human form. His body was a canvas of fresh wounds, but he ignored them. He ignored the cheers that were beginning to rise from his people. He only had eyes for Naya. The pack watched, a collective breath held in a thousand lungs. They expected him to beat his chest, to howl in victory, to reclaim his authority with a roar. He was their conquering Alpha, returned from the brink of death. He did none of those things. He walked past his warriors, who were lowering their heads in respect. He walked past Marcus, his loyal Beta, who gave him a nod of profound relief. He walked right up to Naya, his golden eyes filled with a universe of emotions she couldn't begin to decipher. And there, in the center of the courtyard, in front of every wolf who had witnessed his cruelty, and every warrior who had just witnessed her power, he slowly, deliberately, fell to his knees. A gasp rippled through the pack. An Alpha did not kneel, not to anyone. He bowed his head, the ultimate gesture of submission, his forehead nearly touching the scorched earth. I don't deserve you. Kale's voice was broken, a raw, ragged thing stripped of all its former arrogance. It was the voice of a man, not an Alpha. I don't ask you to be my mate. I don't ask for the bond that I threw away. I don't ask for anything. He looked up at her, and she saw tears tracking paths through the dirt and blood on his face. I ask for your forgiveness, for everything, for my pride, for my cruelty, for my cowardice. Please, Naya, forgive me. The sincerity of his plea was a physical blow, shattering the last of the icy walls around her heart. This was not the Alpha who had rejected her. This was not the boy hiding from his guilt. This was a man laying his soul bare, offering her the broken pieces of his pride, and asking for nothing in return. He had been redeemed not by winning a war, but by losing his arrogance. Tears streamed down Naya's face, washing away the grime of battle. She looked at this impossible man kneeling at her feet, and she saw her past, her present, and a future she had never dared to dream of. The entire pack waited, silent and still. Their future, and his, rested on her next word. Chapter 23. Sunrise on Silvermoon. Naya looked down at the kneeling Alpha, then out at the hopeful, wounded faces of the pack. She looked at the ruins of her home, glowing in the soft light of the rising moon. In this moment, she held all the power, not of fire or magic, but of choice. She reached down and took Kale's hand. His skin was rough and calloused, but his touch was trembling. "Get up, Kale," she said softly, her voice carrying in the quiet air. He looked up at her, his golden eyes wide with a disbelief so profound it broke her heart all over again. She squeezed his hand, her grip firm, and helped him to his feet. He stood before her, not as a superior, but as an equal. "There is much to forgive," she said, her voice clear and strong so all could hear. The pack leaned in, listening. "Years of pain cannot be erased with a single apology." She saw his face fall, and she gave him a small, sad smile. "But we can build something new on the ashes of what came before. We will have time for healing, a lifetime." She turned then to face the pack, her hand still holding his. "The fated bond is gone," she announced. A sad murmur went through the crowd. "It was severed to save the Alpha's life. What the goddess gave us was broken." She paused, letting the weight of that sink in. "But what is left is a choice. Our choice. Not a destiny forced upon us, but a path we decide to walk together." She looked back at Kale, her eyes shining with a love that was deeper, stronger, and more real than any magic. "I choose him, my Alpha." Then she looked out at her people. "And I choose all of you, my pack, our home." As she spoke, the scars that had been her lifelong shame began to change. The defensive blue light faded, and in its place, they pulsed with a soft, gentle, golden glow, the same color as Kale's eyes. They were no longer seals containing a curse, but beacons of her own inner strength, her resilience made visible for all to see. Kale's hand tightened on hers, his gaze filled with a humble, boundless love that promised a future of devotion. As the first rays of dawn broke over the shattered mountains, a clean, new light washed over the valley. It felt like the first gentle rain after a long and devastating dry season, a promise of new life and new growth. They stood together, Alpha and Luna, not by fate, but by will. Scarred, yes. But for the first time, standing in the ruins of their past, they were finally, truly whole. Their new day had just begun.